In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right, big voice, man. That's exactly where we are. The Texas Star Grill Shop in Woodlands, 25919 I-45 is the address. A lot of folks coming in, getting signed up for the opportunity to win a pair of tickets to the Titans game on a Texans Ticket Tuesday.
It's only the Titans.
All right.
That's a big one.
Do you think we get the same kind of energy and vibe for the Titans game?
Maybe not as the Cowboys, but it's a home game, and I think they're going to be wearing the H-Town blue just to kind of stick it to you-know-who.
I don't understand. What do you mean? How could that possibly be sticking it to you-know-who?
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're having a good time out here, and for just another hour, you can get an extra 10% off of a grill purchase during this broadcast at this Texas Star Grill Shop. So come out, say what's up, or, you know, maybe call them up. See if something happens that way, but yeah, all sorts of things. Napoleon truck sale. There's the Hart brand Akashi Wagyu meats.
Yep.
In the cooler here that also are here, and they got whole beef tenderloins before they run out. All sorts of good stuff on sale as we head towards Thanksgiving, head towards the holiday season.
You know, he or she wants it. Might as well get it with 10% off.
That's right. You know, save money at that point, right? Like you saved money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it was a sale.
It's like they're giving you money.
Exactly. Now, that's found money. How about kind of lost money? Because it felt like there was some plays left on the field by one C.J. Stroud in this game. And one of the things that we played the audio of James Jones of FS1 last week, who was like, oh, man, you better ball or we're going to have some uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some ways, I was like, yeah, man, I don't know about all that. But C.J. Stroud, while, you know, he had a decent game, 23 of 34 for 67, maybe 68% completion percentage, 257 yards, and an interception, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not the C.J. Stroud that needs to be, right? Obviously for this team to be the team that you hope to be as a contender in the AFC. Like, that definitely wasn't the C.J. But even the C.J. that we had earlier in the season, he hasn't been that. And there was a lot of things that he left on the field in this game that really made it tougher on this team than it should have.
I mean, just totally uncharacteristic. And that's the thing. I mean, C.J. Stroud's not going to throw for 350 yards and three or four touchdowns every week. We know that. You're playing great teams. You know,
not the Cowboys, though.
Well, except for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm, really, really, really stink.
Not good.
But it's not going to happen every week. What you do want to happen every week is the plays that are right in front of you, you make. The easy plays, the easy misses. Even the interception, was just a bad throw.
Simply a bad throw. The pass was there available for him.
And there was another one I'm thinking of that Tank Dell was open on a third down. Would have been an easy conversion.
That's the one that
hit
Tank has to go to the ground trying to get. And Tank does have like a little bit of a propensity to go to the ground of late. I'm interested into why that is.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the only guy that, and I do wonder how much of that is CJ also, like with the processing that he has in his head, not like the processing of the field, but kind of all of the things that he's considering. It feels like with some of these guys, he's putting it low to try and keep it out of harm's way. One of the things that I did notice with the return of Nico Collins, he was putting that ball high because he's like, that's a big body that I can trust to get it. I do wonder if he was like, I don't want to put it up too high for fear of like turnovers and those things, and he's putting it low. I do wonder if that factors in.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't speak to all of the inaccuracies that it felt like you had.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a great player. D'Amico Ryans reiterated it last week. You know, we wouldn't be here without him. I don't doubt him. I believe that myself. But I don't necessarily need C.J. Stroud to be consistently great. I need him to make the plays that are right in front of him that are easier plays. And then all of a sudden, because like in the first half yesterday, if he hadn't missed a couple of those, and it was more than a couple, but let's say he hadn't missed a couple of those, you're looking at a 2-touchdown lead going into the half.
Yeah, and I think that this game looks a lot cleaner if C.J. Stroud
different.
Is on his P's and Q's, right?
Yeah.
Like, during the course of this game, I'm watching the defense and feeling that pit in my stomach that ultimately is released because of the thick six, the big boy touchdown where you have Derek Barnett get the strip sack. You have Jalen Petrie apply pressure and another forced fumble and Derek Barnett return it, right? That opens up the game. That relieves the pressure. But there was a lot of pressure in this game because Cooper Rush could sit back there and just be content with – Here's over the middle in the soft spot of the zone for 7 yards. Here's a quick out to CeeDee Lamb for 4 yards. And they could just nickel and dime their way down the field, and they did that. They had a lot of long drives where they picked up yards, taking that space that D'Amico Ryan's defense is content to give you, where they'll then rally and tackle. But they were able to do that because they did not feel the pressure of the game script, because you left so much out there in the first part of the game. There was a lot of instances where you could have put this game well away by C.J. Stroud making easy passes. And what was frustrating for me, or what was kind of tough to swallow for me in some ways, was that before we could maybe point to C.J. Stroud's, you know, issues, whatever those ones were actually were, right? Yeah. Not to say that he had a ton of issues, but whatever the issues that presented themselves, we could be like, okay, some of that feels like, you know, he's dealing with the pressure or whatever.
Yeah.
This game, it didn't feel like pressure. It was just kind of missing, and it made me think, oh, yeah, that's right. He was on the injury report with the hand, like, late in the week, right? In fact, I think it happened either Friday or Saturday, once the weekend has already started and we're not, you know, doing it during the week on air. And I do wonder, like, how much of this might be, like, a physical ailment that is keeping him from being accurate, like the actual physical mechanics of this, as opposed to, like, the mental stuff that we've kind of had some conversations about.
It could be, and no question about it. But I'm actually on the other side of where you are on this with the mental, I mean, whatever it is, effect. Because I actually thought that in the first half. The things were going well. First drive, touchdown called back. Go ahead and get a touchdown anyway on a 45-yard. So things were humming. You could not have started the game better. And then on the second drive, a couple things, he got hit. You know, a couple things got, off kilter. And that's when he started to miss a couple. So I'm wondering if it's like still a little bit of like when things all of a sudden turn a little bit bad, it's still in the back of his mind, and he gets a look. Remember the shot they showed him on the sideline? It was just his face, and he just had this look on his face, and maybe it's reading far too much into it, of like frustration. And I'm like, already? You know? And so maybe there was I think there might have been a little bit of effect of that, because in that moment, it's humming, couldn't have gone better. Okay, this is going to be a C.J. Stroud game, and he's going to be, you know, slicing and dicing. Then on the second drive, they have a little bit of setback, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of trouble, and he misses a couple of throws. So I'm like, it could be the injury. You're right. I mean, I don't know. Nobody really knows outside of him and some very important people in the Texans organization.
Sure. And I think I was talking with B. Scott earlier when he was out here.
Yeah.
If it is an injury, this is one of the ones where you go, okay, I ain't mad at you for trying to, you know, keep this behind closed doors. Because when it comes to the quarterback, that's a little different, right?
But I'm not saying it was.
Sure.
I'm saying as I'm watching the game in real time there, I wondered like, wow, it's already getting to him? You know, maybe not. Maybe I'm just seeing things that aren't there. But it seemed like he, in that second drive, it kind of got to him again all of a sudden, even though he couldn't have started out better.
And I think one of the things that's funny is in these types of moments, I know we are the sports talk guys, and it becomes what's the most likely. But oftentimes there's probably some of all of these things that factor in. But the thing that made it tough was just seeing, and I guess all of the instances where you weren't quite hitting the mark with this team, I constantly came back to the frame. And this is against the Cowboys that aren't very good and aren't super well equipped to make you pay. Although, like, it felt like Micah Parsons was getting quite a bit of pressure as well, which he navigated pretty well.
Yeah,
like,
he did.
It wasn't the legs. It just felt like the actual throwing the football, CJ, was a little inaccurate, and that left a lot of third down inefficiency. I think they were 3 of 11 on third down in this game. And that was one of those things that needed to be better, but it felt like a lot of the issues there were C.J. Stroud kind of just not quite hitting his mark.
So where does that leave us with C.J. Stroud? Because I think, you know, in the end, you know, he overcame that. They got things going on that last drive, even though, whatever, you know, you can say what you want about a 35-yard drive that the Cowboys basically gave you, but they did get it. I'm wondering if, as you said earlier in the show, maybe that's that tough three that finally goes through the net, and all of a sudden it kicks off something nice. So maybe he was still kind of feeling the effects, like, oh, no, here we go again kind of thing on that second drive, or maybe it was third, but I think it was the second drive, where he seemed to all of a sudden get a little bit rattled. Or in the end, They beat a team in a game that he really, really wanted. He's wanted it since the offseason.
Yes.
He's wanted this game.
Which is funny because him and his good friend Michael Parsons met at the end of the game, and it was a very quick.
Oh, they're best buds, yeah. But
no, but I was kind of
hoping.
I was kind of hoping that you would get the comical moment where they get to talk a little trash there, and I'm sure the text messages will fly.
Yeah.
But it was just a real quick, and of course, obviously respectful, but real quick, you know, just meeting, and then they kept it moving.
So maybe this is the spark. You know, he gets the win in a game he really, really wanted. They did get the touchdown drive. However they got it, they got it. And all of a sudden, they got off the losing whatever streak. What, you know, they got a big win, and they got two more, you know, relatively easy games to go. Maybe it sparks.
Titans at home, Jaguars on the road.
Yeah, maybe it sparks him, and he gets on a little bit of a roll again.
And this is why for me, I've always, in theory, liked the idea of a late bye week. Because football's a war of attrition, and I do think that there's a physical portion of CJ Stroud inaccuracies, and of course that's something that we will never know, and we might never know, but if we do know, it'll probably be something that we learn at the end of the season, where we get some level of reporting that CJ Stroud was dealing with so and so, you know what I mean? Like that's kind of how these things tend to work, but that's why I kind of like the late bye week, right? Is the season is a war of attrition. You got to get yourself right. I think that having a week 14 after, especially after these, I guess, somewhat easier games, is how we'll deem it.
Mm-hmm.
Having that week 14, give yourself an opportunity to rest up and then get ready for that final stretch. Hopefully as healthy as possible, and hopefully with the return of Christian Harris. Did you hear Joe Mixon on Scott Van Pelt, or with Scott Van Pelt after the game? Basically, kind of allude to the possibility that Christian Harris is coming back, and of course we already had some reporting. I feel like I'm going to continue to utilize that perspective to go, hey, maybe week 14 and then after the break, but getting everything right and getting people back as healthy as possible for that stretch run where you have the opportunity to really give yourself the final test of Chiefs, Ravens in that little holiday window. Are you able to really step up and do a good thing offensively and just as a team?
I'm with you. I think given sometimes for some teams the best time to have a bye week is the first one. Was it week 5? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes because you maybe have a bad start. You got to recalibrate, you know, and get going again. But in the Texans' case, because of where they've been with the injuries, with this slump, with maybe getting a little bit of a roll here going into the bye week with whatever might be bothering, CJ Stroud. Couldn't ask for a better time for a bye week.
The thing that's a little frustrating for a lot of people, I mean, 832 on the 5-hour fan, a 5-hour energy fan line. This team is going to get beat so badly in the playoffs. I don't know that I'm certain that they can fully fix all the things that will get them to a place where we are confident in them playing against the best in the AFC in the playoffs. But at least they can give themselves the best shot of it. And that I feel like getting themselves a little bit healthier would help, especially after you see CJ Stroud being inaccurate. And that really hampered you getting done what I felt like you had the possibility of getting done. Every time I use the word possibility, it makes my head hurt. Sorry. it's the frustration that has existed all season long with these Texans, rather. That's another dollar. Is the lack of fully existing in the possibility that they have.
And just to answer that last point there, I think we're in a place with the defense that I don't think they will get beat badly in the playoffs. I just don't know if they have what it takes right now. Like they play a better team last night, they probably lose. They play a Chiefs or a Ravens last night, they probably lose. That's just my opinion.
If they play them in the same way, sure.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the performance. But the defense would have kept it close. Yeah, closer.
Maybe.
No, I think we're in a place where the defense is going to have enough success against even those type teams. It's just, can the offense do
it? You're a soccer guy, right?
Absolutely.
I feel like the defense kind of, and of course, this is a very particular, like, I don't think that this is one of those things where you can make it universal, because they were playing against the Cowboys and Cooper Rush, and the way that they decided to game plan is particular to that. But it felt like the defense was, you know, when in soccer where they invite the pressure. That's what it felt like.
It felt like
they invited Cooper Rush to throw all those footballs, and
they baited him,
right? And they're like, "Hey, man, you can keep coming forward.
Yeah.
We're just gonna stop." But you weren't getting pressure. Mm-hmm. If you are in that place where you're like, "Hey,
they're playing long ball," I think is what they call
it. Hey, Patrick Mahomes, you can throw underneath, but we're not. We're gonna try and stop everything, deep, and we're gonna try and pressure you, but not get any level of pressure. That's not gonna go well, you know. And so that was one of the frustrations for me in the course of watching this game, but. frustrations aside, 34-10 victory.
The Cowboys.
And over the Cowboys. Yeah, over the Cowboys, because they have literally zero wins at AT&T Stadium this year. And not only do they have zero wins, they also lose by big points. How about like to the tune of 24? Does that sound about right?
How about 20-point losses at home six straight times?
Gross.
Couldn't or be trailing by at least 20 six straight times.
Couldn't be me.
Whew.
That's all I have to say.
Whew.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Figgy out on the day, getting himself back healthy. He having a little bit of a bye week himself.
He's in bed. I saw that.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to be there here shortly. Not his bed, my bed. That was weird. But coming up next is where we typically turn it over to Figgy. I'm trying to save myself.
Who wants to cuddle?
Oh, okay. I don't like the way that you said that. Figgy's mixtape coming up next, where how do you professionally tell a coworker to bleep off?
Oh, my.
We'll talk about that next.